Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friend Casey Bubba at BDantric on the Twitter machine. Bubba, how's it going, my man?
Things are good, my friend. Things are good. Football has actually been entertaining the first few weeks, like really good stuff. Like, not that it's not usually, but it's been some awesome, awesome stuff. Baseball's getting towards the finish line. The Giants are trying to blow everything for my hopes and dreams. And yeah, life is good. Life is good. Lots of sports to keep me entertained.
Hey, look, there is no crying from you about the Giants at all. They have clinched a playoff spot. They are in. My team is about to come to my new hometown and lose their 100th game. So I don't want to hear it from you that you get to not complain at all about baseball.
Yeah, I just know they're going to lose in the wild card game to a team that shouldn't even be facing them. And it's going to be just make me so angry.
Might not even be in the wild card game. I mean, they might win the division and have home field throughout the playoffs. So,
well, throughout the National League.
Well, sure. Right. But I mean, look, your team, there is no whining, no complaining. Logan Webb in a one-off. I'll take him.
That's true. I'll take that. They could piece together a bullpen game. I'm just looking at every bad angle that's coming. You know how it is as a fan. You're like, you're expecting the worst thing. Because they've exceeded every possible expectation on the face of the planet. And now they've hooked me in, and now it's like, okay, now it's time to rip my heart out. So go for it.
I mean, you heard me pick the Buffalo Bills on our Lion Star show last week. With Welsh, I picked them here as well. And the Steelers went in and smashed their faces in. So gotta love that. So look, today on the show, we're going to be talking about this crazy Thursday night game. Like Bubba said, a lot of stuff going on there. The Monday night game was insane too. So we got to talk about that a little bit. Maybe look at the upcoming schedule, maybe talk a little baseball, and we can get some golf because it's not Ryder Cup quite yet, right?
They're almost in next week. Next week it's Ryder Cup. They're in Napa this weekend. So Brooks had some sharp comments in an interview with Golf Digest this past week.
Oh, wow. What a shock. Brooks said something, mm-hmm. I don't know. This rivalry, like, I feel like I should be more in on it, but I can't even get their name straight. So I don't know who I like, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hit a little golf and we'll talk about the crazy Thursday night football that just ended for us. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. I am Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Joined, as always, by my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDantric on the Twitter machine. Bubba, tell all the people the stuff and things you are doing across the interwebs right now.
Well, besides recording at least one show with you every evening, I am for Lion Star and for football and baseball. I'm doing the Bench with Bubba podcast, usually twice a week for the most part. Had some scheduling issues the last couple of weeks, so it's been kind of hit and miss, but one for sure every week. And as we wrap up the baseball season, written content at rotoball.com. We have some stuff at Fantasy Degens as well, doing golf content at the Always Pressing PGA DFS show. And then the Fantasy Black Book should be coming up around the corner. I think Joe's just like so focused on football. Usually we have an email by now and there's been nothing. Like, he's just like, so it's either that or I got cut and I don't know it. Like, that could be it too. Like, I'm sitting there going like, he's my boy. And he's like, you know, texting me sweet nothings. And then I just like, it's like Major League. I'm going to open it and see the red tag, and but it's going to be a joke from Bogman and not from actual PCPA. And I'm going to go blow my stack. It's going to be great, but
so
all over the place.
I have a relay between your phone and Joe's, so definitely cut you out just for my own laughs. I definitely have time to do something like that for sure.
You're not busy. Like, what are you doing?
It is nuts, dude. September, I am ready for October. You know what I mean? Like, September is just because I'm doing obviously this show and I'm doing all my ITL stuff, which is my normal stuff. I got Line Star, 8 shows a week. You and I are doing for Line Star. So we got 5 baseball, 3 football. I'm doing fantasy pro stuff now. So it's like, I think the one day I have stuff or to sleep in and do things for myself is Friday. And I have to go to the DMV this Friday, which everyone loves. It's everyone's favorite place to be, right?
Yeah.
The DMV to get a vehicle registration. It's my favorite.
Did you at least make an appointment?
No.
No. So there's a full day. You have a full day ahead of you. Yep.
You know what? Maybe I won't go. I probably won't go. You know, now that you said that, I'll just make an appointment for next Friday and do it next Friday. I can't do it. It's going to drive me crazy. So, but anyway, let's hear about the golf because we're not in the Ryder Cup yet. We're in, where are they?
They're in Napa, California. It used to be called the Safeway. Now it's like the Fortnite Challenge, Fort Championship. it's Fortinet. It's a cybersecurity company, but the joke's Fortnite. But it's a fun tournament. A bunch of the young kids that got promoted to the PGA Tour and a couple of like John Rahm, the best player in the world's there. There's like 3 or 4 really good players. And then some other kind of mediocre guys, but that's going on now. But Brooks Koepka was the cover boy for Golf Digest. I believe it was Golf Weekly or Golf Digest this past week. Big interview, all kinds of fun stuff. And the U.S. has had camaraderie issues, to say the least, in the Ryder Cup, like we talked about before. And Brooks talks about playing on the Ryder Cup. He's like, I like playing for Team USA, but at the same time, it kind of stinks. And everyone's like, why? And he says, well, week to week when I'm playing in majors and stuff, I'm focused. I go play my practice rounds. I go home and chill and watch TV and kind of decompress. But out there, they expect me to finish my round and go hoo hoo rah rah for everybody else on the course and go do this and that. And he's like, I really don't care how the other guys are playing. And so it's like it's a team event that Brooks doesn't care about, but he wants to be on it. So that got a lot of old timers angry, to say the least.
No way. Fuddy duddies were upset.
Yep. Clint Eastwood types all over the world got very angry. It was like Gran Torino all over the place. And it was pretty, pretty fun stuff. So we'll see what happens. They're gonna meet up in Whistling Straits in Milwaukee or outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin next week for the Ryder Cup. And it's gonna be fun. Gonna be fun, to say the least.
I mean, there's all kinds of teammates that have hated each other and made it work out. So, hopefully they can come together and get it done. But I don't know, man, it's a really stupid thing to say right before you go and play a team event. But let's talk about some football and let's start with these. You know, you talked about it. Just the impressive games that we've had. Let's start with this Monday Night Football game that happened because, we obviously didn't see that one before the show last week. And it was one of the most entertaining Monday Night Football games maybe ever. It went into overtime. It looked like the Raiders had it won on that Bryan Edwards touchdown pass. But they came up short. Then a false start after, a play from the one couldn't get them in. Then Derek Carr throws a pick. And then Lamar fumbles, and then the huge play to Zay Jones to end it. A lot of talk about Lamar and maybe him being cooked, not necessarily cooked, but not as good, not living up to the hype and all that good stuff. So your thoughts on Lamar moving forward? Are you still in on him, or are you like, okay, we've seen this plenty, and it just hasn't worked yet?
I think you're baiting me right here because you know my answer to this. You are so just baiting me on this one. The way I'm going to try to say it as nicely as possible, and most people still will not understand me. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he gets too much praise. He's not as good as people give him credit for. That's the way I see him. Like, people anoint him as like a top 5-ish quarterback or so, I could say, pretty close to that. I think he's more towards the back end of the top 10. I think he has some good games with his legs, but if his legs aren't effective, the way their offense is ran, it doesn't let him flourish in a passing game. So maybe that's not all on him, but that's the guy you can only grade as the guy we see out there. So I think he is like overrated is the wrong word. I think he's put on too high of a pedestal and needs to get knocked down a rung or two, and that would be much more appropriate. So I think he's a good quarterback. They need to know how to use him better, and they have not figured that out quite yet in Baltimore.
Putting the Lamar on the pedestal, right? Yeah,
you're putting Lamar on the pedestal. You never put Lamar on the pedestal.
Oh, wow.
That's almost like going full gaze.
All right. Never go full gaze.
Never go full gaze.
What about the Raiders? Were they underrated coming into the year, or is this like a fluky win? What do you think?
They do this a few times every year. Or they just like show up against a team. Like, remember a couple years ago, they almost beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Like, they do things. You're just like, are they good? And then they go back and they have like a 15 penalty game, turn it over three times, and get smoked by like the Lions. It's what the Raiders do time and time again. They should be better. They should be a good team. Like, they started to slowly build something there. Gruden, as much as we want to make fun of him, is actually a good head coach. We've seen him win pretty much everywhere he's gone. Mayock is a very sensible football guy. Not sure he's a great like guy to run personnel. We'll see. They're still not going to be good enough for that division. The Chargers looked outstanding this past weekend. The Broncos looked great. Like, they're just not, and the Chiefs, like, obviously. So right. The Raiders are still fourth in that division, which means they won't make the playoffs, and they're just kind of screwed there. But I think they're going to give people a little more trouble than they're worth.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. Now, let's get to this Thursday night game that we just watched. And we're obviously going to be going into the next segment on this game. Crazy game. Finishes 30-29 with a Washington football team win. But if I asked you how many penalties were in this game, how many do you think? You watched the game, right?
I watched part on my phone, part muted in the background. I'm going to go, let's go with 13.
Higher.
24.
20 penalties in this game. This was an over-officiated game. Now, look, there were a lot of those needed to be called. So, you know, there were some definite plays. But there are also plays where you're calling ticky-tack everything. And then at the end of the game, they didn't call some stuff. So I would say this is a bad early season performance, not just from some football teams here, but by this referee crew. They were terrible. This game was poorly coached, I thought, on both sides. Made for a very entertaining game. Right. Very, very entertaining game. 30-29 is close as it gets. It was a fun game. But this game was not great. The way that the Giants used Saquon, I thought, was laughable. If you're going to put him out there, give him the goddamn football. What are you doing?
I saw somebody tweet it out. I don't know who it was, but it was retweeted by like one of the big, like the big fantasy football accounts. And he says Saquon is French for decoy.
Well, yes,
it's awesome. One of the best tweets I've seen all night.
I mean, Daniel Jones ran for a career high 95 yards in this game,
and he had one taken back. He had a touchdown taken back.
Yeah, exactly. So this game was nuts. It was bananas. So we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this game, and then maybe talk about some of the worst calls in NFL history as well, because there were some bad calls in this game. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. And please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, or we got it back working. You can just go to inthisleague.com. It will redirect you to our Patreon if that is too complicated for you. Please check it out if you would. We got Group Me Rooms, Secret Shows, which Welsh and I are going to get one in this week for sure. We're doing live streams on Madden. I do live streams for Thursday Night Football, which this game was crazy. And the first game was crazy. The Monday night game was good. So the national televised games have been solid, all except for Sunday Night Football was a bit of a snoozer at the end there. But I mean, this has been a great year so far for the NFL. They keep calling it the, what were they called? The biggest season in NFL history or whatever, some weird thing. They keep calling it most important something. I don't know.
I have not heard that part.
I know it's the biggest because of the extra game. So is, I guess maybe if that's what we're doing.
Is it in Reno, the biggest little city in the U.S.?
You know that because of Reno 911, don't you?
No, because my in-laws live there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know because of Reno 911. So,
which I heard, are they bringing that back? I thought I heard they're bringing that show back, but maybe
they're bringing a lot of stuff back.
They probably couldn't make that show anymore, actually. Now I think about it.
But, dude, Welsh was telling a story, just speaking of comedy shows, real quick, just a detour for a second, because, you know, Norm MacDonald passed away.
Yes, and, so sad.
Yeah, cancer. No one knew. I guess his agent didn't even know.
Yeah, none of them knew. Like, I listened to a lot of comedy podcasts, and most of them that recorded after the news of his passing, none of them knew. And these are, like, big-time comedy people that literally said, I saw Norm at the Comedy Store, like, 2 months ago, and we were talking about stuff.
Wow. I can't believe he didn't.
He said, now that you think about it, he's like, he looked a little more frail than usual, but there's, like, I hadn't seen him in so long because of COVID that I didn't know. Like, I just assumed. So it was freaking bizarre.
So Welsh was telling a story where he was in LA working in a recording studio, and he was a paid intern, and he was a gopher. So he was going to get something, and he saw a homeless guy walking across the street with sweatpants on and a big old beard. And the guy looked over at his car, and it was Norm MacDonald.
That sounds about right.
So, yeah, I was like, that's how expensive it is to live in California. Even Norm MacDonald, who's on Saturday Night Live, is living like a bum out there. You know what I mean? But
all I got to say is some of the best parts, like people dying is never good. But some of the best parts is all the clips that got put out there on, was it Wednesday that he passed? Yeah. All the clips that got put out there, you could rewatch all those old stuff. The dude was a genius, like such a genius. The one thing I'll recommend to any listeners here, if you've seen it, do it again. If you haven't seen it, do it for the first time. Go watch Dirty Work, please.
Oh, absolutely.
It is, like, I'm surprised by how many people haven't, but then again, I watched a lot of old movies millions of times because that's just my, if people know me outside of the shows, they know my stupid sarcasm. It makes sense. That show is just, that movie is genius. Absolutely genius. So please watch that movie.
I mean, there's so Pisa Pia and I were talking about him when we recorded for Betting Pros, and he said his favorite Norm MacDonald moment was, we know when he do the weekend updates and stuff, he goes, number one on the billboards, better than Ezra. Number two, Ezra. I mean, just Ezra.
So good. He's so dry, but it's like
the delivery is perfect.
I was watching one clip of him on Conan where it's the moth joke, which everyone should know by now, but it's literally like the longest drawn out thing, and you're just like, where the hell is he going with this? And then all of a sudden it's just like he hits it with a one-liner at the end, and you just want him to smack yourself going, this is ridiculous, it's so dumb, it's so funny. Like, this guy's a genius. He's a genius.
He would make Conan laugh so hard. Conan's face would get red and he couldn't talk. That chairman of the board thing was just that's my favorite Norm MacDonald moment, was the do something with that, pervert. Yeah, I bet it's spelled B-O-R-E-D, board, you know. So
remember, he was Billy's friend at Billy Madison. Remember that?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So good. Good one.
This is the best night of my life. Yeah, I remember Norm MacDonald for sure. Yes. But let's get back to football and this Thursday night game, which, you know, Thursday nights are, you look at this game on the schedule after last week. I mean, at least they opened with two big teams, the Cowboys and the Bucks, and it was a great game. Ended on a questionable call there, too. Mm-hmm. This game ends on a questionable call because Washington lines up, they kick the field goal, they shank it. But I think it was illegal procedure on the Giants. Dexter Lawrence was lined up in the wrong spot over the center. He can't do that. So a 5-yard penalty, replayed untimed down, zeros on the clock, knocked the field goal through, and they win by 1 point against the Giants. So first of all, completely over officiated, like we said, but let's talk about the actual performance. Danny Dimes got some time to pass in this game, 22 of 32, 249 yards. And a touchdown. like you said, Saquon, a complete decoy, 13 rushes for 57 yards, and he had 41 on one rush. Only two catches for 12 yards, only 69 total nice yards in this game for him. Danny Dimes ran 9 times for 95 yards and a score, career high in rushing yards, and he's a guy that can run. Sterling Shepard had 8,000 receptions for 10,000 yards. It's actually 9 for 94. Darius Slayton, 3 for 54 and a score and a huge drop touchdown.
Yep.
Galladay held to 3 for 38. Rudolph, 2 for 25. And then on the Washington side, we had Heinicke starting his first game this year, 34 of 46, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Antonio Gibson, only 13 rushes for 69 yards and 2 catches for 4. Big J.D. McKissic game here. 4 rushes for 10 yards and a score, but did his damage in the receiving game. 5 catches for 83 yards. One big one there for him as well. McLaurin had his best career game. I was worried about James Bradberry because James Bradberry is supposed to be this great cover corner. And Terry McLaurin schooled
owned him.
14 targets, 11 catches, career high, 107 yards, and a touchdown. I said McKissic had the 83 yards, 7 targets, 5 catches, 45 yards for Logan Thomas. Adam Humphries had 7 for 44. So I guess when we're looking at this game, Bub, are the Giants a little more for real because of what we saw from the offensive line keeping Daniel Jones upright, or are they still a joke because of the way they use Saquon in this game?
I think they're a little more for real. Like Saquon, I think he's just still kind of banged up and they don't want him to go full go yet, which if they're going to have him out there, they need to. So I agree with what you said earlier. But at the same time, I think he's still a better option than a lot of the backups. Like, I know he's
better than Devontae Booker, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like, okay, well, we're going to use him out there when we need to. But Danny Dimes has, we knew he could run from college and he ran amazingly. And that's, and the fact that he's only getting hit when he runs now instead of in the backfield also makes the runs more efficient, most likely. So that helps out a ton too. And he's got an arm that, you know, when the Mannings are goo-goo gagaing over him because of the, you know, was it Cutcliffe or all of them that worked with him over at Duke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like there's some, gotta be something there. And cause I was one of the first ones to go, a Duke quarterback? No, not number. No, but he looked good. He got better last year, even going into the fantasy season. Like he was free in drafts. He didn't get drafted in some leagues, depending on the depth of your league.
Mostly. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, man, I wouldn't mind getting some Danny Dimes. If you're one of those that rosters two quarterbacks, I could see it. And some of the passes he made literally dropped a dime to Slayton on that one touchdown catch. Whoa. Literally could have had two, but yeah, the one that was a touchdown was beautiful.
I can't believe that one went right off his beaters. I mean, catch the ball. What are you doing? That was terrible. So, I know I'm a Saquon, you know, apologist and all that stuff, but I just think that they designed a halfback delay for him and he ran 41 yards on it. You're not going to set him up with a screen pass or a play action dump off or something else. You know, I know that he didn't want to touch the ball, which that stuff is starting to annoy me. I thought it was starting to come from up top. But I think now maybe it's him because he's like, well, it's not ideal to play 2 games in 5 days coming off knee surgery. You've had a year, dude. Yeah. Like,
if that's the case, then go be inactive and get someone out there who can play. That's fine.
Absolutely.
If you're that worried, then go fine. But let someone else that can give me 100% of the snaps, let's go.
Right, exactly. So I don't, I don't just understand that mindset. It's not my need, and I understand that. But I kind of don't get. So, I think this offense could be better. And I think you're right. I think maybe coming into the year, we did underestimate Daniel Jones a little bit just because we thought this line was going to be terrible. You didn't know what you're going to get out of Saquon. The defense is still questionable. Obviously, Bradberry's not as good as we thought he was, or Terry McLaurin is just going into superstardom. It's one of those two. So because Bradberry, he had a pick, so he made a good play on one of them, but he got torched. I guarantee you, when you look at his PFF number from this week, it's going to be bad. So,
well, and I don't have the names off the top of my head, but I remember T-Mac last year, F1 or whatever the heck you want to call him.
Not Scary Terry. He hates that.
Yeah, he hates that one. But going into even last season, he had some tough matchups. Obviously, he faced Washington twice last year and some other really good defenses. And the dude just, it didn't matter who he played. Because I remember him in DFS, he'd be cheap. He was like mid fives to mid sixes every week. And you're just like, the dude's going to get you 15 points every single week. Because it's like he's a cheaper Keenan Allen. This is what he is. He's a target monster with great hands that can beat almost any cornerback in football. And Heinicke is a better quarterback. We talked about this on the pick show, Boggs. Yeah. Like, he's by no means is he an elite quarterback, but he went toe-to-toe with Brady in a playoff game. He's shown he can at least, you know, he almost came back against the Chargers. That was a weird one. But he looked darn good tonight, especially as the game wore on. He got more comfortable in that offense. He was slinging around. You mentioned the receptions from, like, all those different receivers. They all had a good amount of targets, and they only missed one catch each. Like, they weren't missing a – it wasn't Devontae Johnson getting five catches on 10 targets. It was like boom, boom, boom. So the kid's good, and the one thing I was surprised at is he usually runs a lot. He didn't run at all because he was sitting in the pocket making passes, which shows me a lot about where his mental game is,
I mean,
which could be really good for Washington going forward.
That touchdown of Ricky Seals-Jones was a dime.
I didn't know Ricky Seals-Jones was still in football. I legit tweeted that out. I'm like, how is he still in football?
When he caught it, I do my live stream on ITL for Thursday Night Football, and I think I was like, blast from the past here, Ricky Seals-Jones on that catch.
I had no idea.
Every Logan Thomas owner was pissed, obviously. But look, we got to take a break. When we come back, you know, we'll close that out. Talk about some of these worst calls, because I think one of the big takeaways is these calls ending these Thursday night games. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogdan Sports, joined by my friend, Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. And look, a lot of stuff happening on Thursday Night Football. But one of the big things, Bub, which I know you wanted to talk about, is in-season hard knocks for the Colts. Now, this is a little dicey, I thought. Because, you know, like, you're not showing much in the preseason, right? And even if you are showing off your plays, you have backups running them. So it's not crisp. It's not clean. It's early in the season. I was surprised that – I'm not surprised that they're doing this.
Yes.
But I am surprised that episodes are coming out during the season.
Yes.
So November 17th. And look, if they don't do this right, this could ruin Hard Knocks during the season for any other team ever. So, but the Colts are going to get it. It's an interesting team with Carson Wentz going over there. Well, I mean, what are you most excited about within Hard Knocks for the season?
Well, you kind of hit on part of it is, well, a lot of it is, I like the Colts as a team. I like some of the personalities on that team. I love the coaching staff on that team with Frank Reich and stuff. So I think you can get a lot of interesting angles there in season that you're not going to get in, you know, preseason football, as you said. And we get to see, like, you know, you can hear, like, the Manning cast we heard, and they're going, Manning was going behind the scenes talking about, you know, how we draw up plays and this and that, things we have no idea about. And that's right. The whole purpose of those. Now we're going to get to see stuff in between games, like you said, like how much, who knows, but like the quarterback meetings, or they said all of a sudden now, you know, Wentz and Reich might just sit down and watch the game together, just the two of them, and talk about how they can draw up things differently. Just little things that I guess like the average fan wouldn't care about, but like football nerds, we'd love, like the behind the scenes stuff like that. So like, that's great. There's always still going to be some infighting, or like after a big loss, like the episode after they got smoked by Seattle at home this past weekend, going to be a fun one. Like Quentin Nelson's a beast. There's a lot to like. Indy's a fun team. It's a fun town, fun division. Like this could get dicey. And like, I am kind of surprised I didn't kind of wait till either the end of the season or after the season.
Right.
Like, it's going to be hard to give a quality product without giving away some of the secret sauce.
Right. And we don't get the episodes until November, but that's still in season, right?
So that's like, yeah, you might have made more adjustments by then, because it was that eight or nine games in, but that still doesn't mean the next eight games that people can't use some of that to help them out.
Right. Which is, I gotta assume that the Colts are approving what goes out. You know what I mean? And look, I think that this is, you know, the NFL is oversaturated right now. And but maybe it's not. People want more and more and more and more and more. So I think we're eventually going to get to where this is how you see every team covered every year. You know,
100%.
You know, but it's definitely very interesting. I would love to see what a Hard Knocks crew would say in the Dallas Cowboys locker room after their Thursday night game loss when that OPI was not called, and what the Giants are talking about on this call at the end of the game, which just it just harkens back to me to some horrible calls made in NFL history. And I pulled up an article. This one is from 2019. So we didn't get last year's, but it has top 10. This is Jordan Simel. I mean, I don't know. It's the first one that came up on Google, so to be honest with you, but I'm assuming a lot of them are going to have the most. We'll see how many we remember here. And I definitely remember number 10 because it's the first time I screamed a cuss word in front of my grandma. It was a bad Thanksgiving for everybody. It was the coin flip in the Thanksgiving game between the Steelers and Lions. So do you remember that game?
Yeah, the bus had one call, and then it went the other way, and then they called it the other way. Yeah, that was good. Good way to kick that. Was it overtime, though, right?
It was in overtime. Yeah. They were doing the coin flip. Bus said tails.
Yeah, it flipped heads.
He said heads. He goes, I said tails before they even saw the coin flip. And he goes, no, you didn't. You said heads. And he picked it up, and he goes, it's tails. And then Detroit got the ball, went down the field, kicked a field goal, and won because at that point in overtime,
it
was first score. That was the rule. So, and I knew that was going to happen. Kind of like we knew that as soon as the Patriots got the ball in the Super Bowl against Atlanta in overtime, they were going to win that game. Yeah, because Atlanta hadn't stopped them for 2.5 quarters. So that game was over at that point. The number 9 on this list, Bub, is the Fail Mary, the Packers and Seahawks Monday Night Football game with the replacement refs. You remember
that one? In Seattle, too, to top it off. Yep. In Seattle. Not even the home team got the rub. Most of these are home team related.
The Seahawks won that game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. For some reason, I was thinking of the Packers. But yeah, I remember the whole situation very, very vividly in the back. Yeah.
I remember all these. The Calvin back Johnson.
Catch or no catch? Touchdown, no touchdown?
Yeah. Just take a guess at how long ago that was, by the way. The Calvin Johnson one.
It's 2021.
2012? 2010. 9-12. You were close, but that's 11 years ago.
I was trying to think because he's in the Hall of Fame now. So you have to have a few years after retirement. So it was – that shows you how old we are now, Bogman. That just goes to show you.
This one is, I don't know if I remember this one, Bottlegate between the Jaguars and Browns.
I don't remember that one.
Let's see. Down 15-10 and driving towards the end zone. Tim Couch threw a successful pass on fourth down to Quincy Morgan. Good Lord, these names. For first down to keep their season alive. Couch hurried up the offense, the line of scrimmage, and successfully hiked to play before the referees could look at the questionable catch. Oh, so that's one of the ones that got us towards review. Dez Bryant is number 6.
Yep, that's a clear one.
That is an obvious one for sure. Roughing the passer, Patriots and Chiefs in 2019. That was the AFC Championship game.
Or the Patriots got the bonus on that one.
Oh, yeah, what a shock. Everyone's surprised.
I bet you I know one that's coming up. Speaking of Patriots getting playoff help.
Well, that I think that's going to be – we're on number 4.
Yeah, I just thought, like, oh, that has to be
this one list. I don't agree with, but, you know, it's because I'm a Steelers fan. It says literally all of Super Bowl 40, which I don't – there were three bad calls in that game.
That was two the Arizona game, right?
No, this is the Seattle game.
Okay.
Where Holmgren, when they got back to Seattle, said, we should have won. It's bull ass, blah, blah. Wow. Actually, okay. Number 3 is the Tuck rule.
So we have two more ahead of the Tuck rule.
Two more ahead of what is ahead of? If you guys don't know what the Tuck rule is, by the way, that was 2002. That was 19 way back years ago.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college.
I remember. So my grandma and me, our birthdays were 3 days apart. She has since passed away, of course, but our birthdays were 3 days apart, and we would always do this, you know, my cousin's wife's birthday was in January as well. So we'd always do this like group dinner, blah, blah, blah. So we go out to this dinner. We get back to my cousin's house because he lived by the restaurant, and we're watching the AFC Championship game, and they called the tuck rule. And my cousin and I just like looked at each other like, are you serious? Or how happened. Is that not a fumble? And, you know, that was the whole Charles Woodson. That's a bull ass call, all that good stuff. So what is ahead of the tuck rule? Okay.
Yeah, so, no, I'm really, you have me intrigued.
Right. Number two is, okay. It's Oilers Steelers in 1980. Which
guys, we're on way back.
Obviously back. We're not going to remember that. And then
my dad didn't even think about me yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was a couple years away. Yeah. Then I'm surprised we didn't. You can't think of the number one because I didn't. Well,
once
think
you
of it
say
either.
It, I'll probably think about it, but I can't. I figured tuck rule would be number one.
I thought tuck rule.
It's probably gonna be something super simple.
It's recent. It's very recent from 2019 in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not ringing a bell. Just go ahead. What you got?
The pass interference in the Rams and Saints game. In the NFC Championship.
Oh, yeah, that gave the Ram the chance to go. That's a good one.
Yep. Yeah, the Saints definitely should have gone.
That was bad. Like, really. That's worse than the tuck rule. 100% agree with that.
Yeah. And look, you know, these two calls on Thursday Night Football were not, they are not at this magnitude. They wouldn't be.
They still had 15 games to go. That was to go home or go to the Super Bowl. Big difference.
Yeah, a lot of these calls are in big games, obviously. But, I mean, you know, if you go back to college football, Cordell Stewart got a fifth down. You know, there's some bad ones out there. So, for sure. But what was the other thing we wanted to talk about? My memory is like a goldfish right now, Bubba.
I know we were going to talk about Hard Knocks, which we talked about.
That's right.
We were going to talk about these wonderful bad calls. We could talk about, do you still have Shohei Ohtani as the MVP over Vlad, even though Vlad might be a Triple Crown winner?
I don't care. Shohei wins it.
Shohei does, because like I said, no one's done what we've seen before. We've seen Triple Crowns. As awesome as it is and as rare as it is, it's insane. And it's funny because the discussion, because Shohei's been kind of quiet hitting-wise for like a month now compared to what he was doing. Right. He's still pitching like a beast. Like, the one thing I said to somebody is like, either it's, well, A, it's still Shohei, so get over it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He could stop playing and it's still him.
B, if you wanted to make co-MVPs, I at least wouldn't argue it, because Vlad's deserving of something. C, then you need to do what the NFL does and have an offensive player of the year for Vlad and a most valuable player for Shohei. That's what they need.
Yeah. I mean, because if Shohei stays healthy, he's going to be winning this award for years to come, because he's going to throw 150 innings and hit 40
homers. They're going to have to create a new award and steal 25 bases.
I mean, it might have to be the Shohei Ohtani award when he retires. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but he's still a pitcher, and no one's going to stay that healthy for that long. But speaking of bad calls, by the way, did you see the other night, I was talking to Welsh about this, the umpire throw out the grounds crew in Baltimore?
You were telling me about that the other day. Like, what in the heck is going on there?
So I think that this umpire just didn't want them to come out and try to delay this game because the Orioles were down or whatever. So he ejected the entire grounds crew. They got behind the tarp because it's about to rain. They're like getting ready to roll out the tarp and everything. And he said, get out of here. You're ejected. All you out. And they're saying that the announcers are going, well, they've just ejected someone. Who was it down there? Was someone giving them a hard time? And you can see the ground crew. They look like the meerkats, right? Like they look like they're like all standing behind the tarp going, you know, looking at each other, like, you know, their heads turning and stuff, and like me. And he's like, all of you get out. And so you see them all go, you know, scrambling down the foul line and back through into the back, and I guess out of the game. And it started raining 5 minutes after that, but they just played through it. It was the ninth inning already. I think he was thinking that this was a Baltimore thing I think it was in Baltimore. Maybe I'm screwing it up.
The game would have been in Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was just thinking like, oh, this is a grounds crew trying to delay this game to get, you know, maybe a different pitcher in for the Yankees or whatever. And he was having no part of it. It was I got to get out of here. you guys, obviously the umpire had some stuff to do after the game.
Funny.
Clearly.
That's really funny. Know?
But yeah, I mean, I just haven't seen that type of thing in ever. I've never seen a grounds crew person ejected. I think I've seen a vendor ejected before.
I was going to say, I can't recall anybody that's like not a player or a coach or something. But it's almost as funny as last year when players were sitting in the stands. And I remember Greinke was sitting like seven rows up. And he got tossed because he was mouthing off because he didn't want to be there. He flat out told people, I didn't want to be there, but they make me show up. So I sit there in the stands and I'm like, I just said one thing and they can hear everything I say now. So right. Like, go on. I thought that was like the old school, like, you know, you got a little league parent, like, you got to go. I've seen that is a lot.
Like Greinke, you know, you can roll your eyes at, but that's pretty funny, dude. You know, yeah, like I don't want to be here. So it's my day off. I'm not even supposed to be here today. But when we come back, we will end the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Everybody, you hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. If you're familiar here, that means it is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. We hope you all had a good time. Couple minutes left here, Bub. Great Thursday night football game. I don't know if anything's this weekend is going to live up to that, but what games are you looking forward to the most? I mean, probably has to be the Sunday night football game with the Chiefs and Ravens, right?
I say Chiefs and Ravens looks absolutely awesome. Looking for the Chiefs to keep steamrolling people and see if the Ravens are just a speed bump or not. I think I really want to see Monday night football and see if how bad Aaron Rodgers wants to beat down on the Lions. Is it going to be the children of the poor situation there? I'm really curious that. I think Cowboys Chargers could be absolutely electric. I think that's going to be a fun one. And then last but not least, Vikings Cardinals. I want to see Kyler continue because I know I said it too many times. People are going to get broken right if they listen to enough of our stuff together. But he was so good last year before he got hurt. He looked like that in week one. I want to keep seeing that as long as possible. And if he can do that, Arizona's got a shot to be sneaky. The West was great last week, the NFC West. Yeah, so let's 4-0. See what keeps going.
Yeah, and the way we predicted them, I think we have them 4-0 again this probably. Week. So I'm with you on those. See, I want to see what's going on with Seattle and Tennessee. I want to see if Tennessee plays that bad again. And because if they get stomped again, I think we're going to see Mike Vrabel potentially be on the hot seat.
Well, it's a tough one to grade on because, like you said on the Lion Star show, that 12th man is this is not where you want to go to try to get your stuff right.
No, it's not. I mean, especially after a year of not letting people into that stadium, it is going to be roaring. My buddy is gone. He has custom earplugs made for him and all that stuff. So nice. He also, his parents do like the boat gating for the Washington Huskies games. That's and stuff. You think I didn't give them crap about losing to Montana? I sure did.
What about USC new head coach? Go.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's probably Welsh and I talked about this a little bit, but Eric Bieniemy looks like the guy there. So it's not the Urban Meyer stuff. I think is that's a little bit eye-rolling. I mean, to Welsh's credit, he pulled up that clip and there was some weird body language when they asked Urban Meyer about that.
Like he was having heart issues again.
Yeah. I'm getting some palpitations here. But yeah, it was very, very strange. So that's something to at least keep an eye on. But that will do it for us. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy your football on Sunday. And we will see you next Saturday. Take it easy, everybody.